With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
The next person we're going to bring in for the ABF TV one-on-one is a guy who spent 2 years in Belfast, leaving as a 50 goal scorer in one season, and hopefully that's not the last we've seen of him. Mr. Darcy Murphy, how are things?
Good, good. How's it going, Kitch?
Yeah, it's all good, mate. All good here. We're sort of cocooned at home, and I think that's pretty much similar to what's happening in Ontario at the minute too, is it?
Oh, yeah. Everything, all of Canada's pretty much locked down, only essential services and that kind of things.
Yeah, well, hopefully it doesn't last any much longer because it's driving me up a wall. But obviously, everybody that, you know, the key workers, the doctors and nurses are doing a brilliant job, not just in Northern Ireland, but right the whole way through the world, you know?
Absolutely.
I want to take you back to when you stuck skates on for the first time. Do you remember going back that far, or how did you come across your love for hockey and skating?
Well, hockey's kind of a big part of a lot of our family are interested in it, have played, obviously, like my parents and uncles and that kind of thing. And I started when I was about two or three. There's actually a video of when it was just a public skate at the local rink or whatever. And so I don't really remember it, but I only remember it because there is a video and I saw it. And I don't think I left the boards too far back then.
Some things never change.
Yeah.
When you started playing hockey, obviously, as you say, it's common knowledge, and you know, it's basically the same as walking. When you get a pair of skates on you in Canada, and that's you off and running. But obviously, you know, did you have the facilities that your dad have the opportunity to have you skating outside, or did you have a rink in your back garden in the winter?
Yeah, well, actually, my uncle lives just down the road, and he had a few sons that ended up going to NCAA too, and he always had a little pond out front of their house, so we skated there quite a bit when we had some free time in the winter when the ice was good.
Who was your first hockey team? Who did you play for first?
The Deseronto Bulldogs.
What age were you when you started playing for them?
I think it would have been 4 or 5. It was just kind of like, I don't know what it would be called, similar in the UK, but it's called like Tyke here. It's the first year that you can play like competitive hockey, or as competitive as it can be for 5-year-olds, you know.
And did you know straight away that you wanted to be a forward? You didn't want to put the goalie gear or anything on?
I actually wasn't too good. I usually skate for about a few strides and fall down, but always got back up and eventually I learned how to do it. Now it's kind of like riding a bike, but back then it wasn't.
Pushing through as a, you know, in the early teens, what sort of level, or when you were looking at, you know, obviously you're going to school and you're playing hockey in school as well, I take it, but what's your thought process? What is it you want to be when you're at 12, 13, 14 years of age?
Yeah, you know, I'm not really sure. We're looking back, I don't know. There's always a lot of things you wanted to be, like a firefighter, police officer, and those kind of things. It's something I probably would have been interested in. But, I mean, I never had any, like, cut-in-stone dreams that I wanted to be other than being a hockey player. And fortunately enough, I still get to do that.
You get into your mid-teens, and you have a season plan with the Trenton Golden Hawks. And then you move on to Wellington. And you meet up with a certain Curtis Leonard. What is that all about?
Actually, I played with Curtis Leonard since I was about 6 or 7. I moved to, the area has a AAA team, which would be, like, the highest level. And he was in the neighboring town. So eventually we met up and we played together since we were about 6 or 7 years old. So I knew him well before then.
Well, obviously, you're moving into your playing at that level where you're hoping to get recognized maybe by an OHL team or obviously, you know, guys who from the scouts, the pro scouts or NCAA. Is that where you were first seen playing for Wellington?
Yeah, it would have been for sure. You go to like their camps and stuff. I mean, there would have been a few guys on our team that would have been drafted the OHL, but me and Curtis Leonard weren't. So it was kind of, we were just trying to find a spot to play and get an opportunity anywhere we could at that point. And we were fortunate enough that we ended up meeting up again, and we've been playing to play with them for about probably a total of a dozen years now. So built up quite a relationship.
That certainly seems so. Talk us through the process of being spotted. Colgate University was your chosen NCAA school to go to. How does that move come about? Because obviously in the UK, we don't have anything like that.
Yeah, it was my 19-year-old season. I started to put up some pretty good numbers and points, and the scouts would come watch our games. There'd be some showcase tournaments and stuff that all the teams in the league would be playing in. So you'd usually have a lot of NCAA scouts there because they could see everybody. And a lot of guys will get scouted when they're younger, but I was kind of a late bloomer, I guess you could say. So it wasn't until about my 19-year-old season that some NCAA team started knocking on the door. And then I went for a visit to that Colgate University. And as soon as I went there, I knew it was the right fit for me. And I committed the next week.
And commit the next week, you then became friends with a certain Spiro.
Yeah, well, that would have been when I actually got there. But yeah, big time.
Colgate University, the first year, you know, you're scoring double figures. You get into 10 goals that season. College hockey, college life, again, there's nothing like that in Northern Ireland. What's it all about?
For me, it was obviously you get the best of both worlds. You're getting education and you're playing top hockey for 18 to 22 year olds is what it would be, give or take. So it was a pretty good opportunity, and it's a small school. It was only about 3 hours from my house, so it just kind of seemed like the right fit, and don't regret one second of it. It was a lot of fun on and off the ice.
Again, you come up with another Ontarian in Kai Bond. Kai Bond, you've spent we spent a couple of seasons with him. And what sort of player was he at college level?
Bonner was a pretty good player. He was obviously still is. He was big and strong, and he could kind of bully kids around pretty good. So Kyle Bond was definitely a standout when we were there, and he was my roommate a couple of years. So got along pretty good with him, and built a pretty good relationship there too that we've kept going throughout the years, obviously, and then joined up in Belfast. It was really something, a great experience.
Yeah, it wasn't your first time in Belfast, though, at that stage. You came over for the Friendship Four. What was your first vision? What was your first thoughts on Belfast? And what were you told when you went back to school that year about the trip upcoming and heading over to the UK to play in the Friendship Four?
Yeah, it was, you don't really have any idea. You don't know what to expect. Like, you're coming to, you know, Northern Ireland. You don't know what kind of a rink they're going to have, the facilities and stuff. So it really, you're just kind of going in blind. And then obviously you get there and you realize how like amazing the place is, the city itself. And then obviously the SSE Arena is top class. So it's kind of, you realize, you know, it's not somewhere that takes their hockey for granted or anything like that. And you can see the love and the passion that the city and the team has. So it's pretty eye-opening. I think guys really understand how big hockey actually is in Northern Ireland. And you kind of think like, oh, maybe this wouldn't be too bad of a fit for me. So that was the way I kind of looked at it. I mean, obviously, I'm sure other guys are different, but I was pretty pretty happy with – I've never been to Europe at all before that. So it was all an eye-opener, and I really, really liked it.
And it must have been good crack and obviously coming here with all your Colgate teammates and guys that you spent ultimately 4 years with. It must have been a really good trip for you too.
Yeah, it is. You know, they're all they're all your best buddies from college. You know, there's 20 best friends going over. So we had a lot of fun both on and off the ice when we were there. And obviously the whole organization must have liked it because they went back last year too, and I heard good stories. So
yeah, it was definitely, I mean, they seemed to enjoy themselves last year as well.
Yeah.
You get your senior year in Colgate, and then you get a chance to play a few games in the ECHL. What's the, I mean, ECHL is very similar to the EIHL. But when you're coming out of hockey, or coming out of college, sorry, 22, 23 years of age, and get straight in the ECHL, was there a big transition period there for you?
Yeah, for sure. It was, you know, it's a whole other ball game. You're playing professional hockey, and, you know, it's not like you're, everyone's looking to get move up to the AHL and stuff, so it's a little more competitive internally as well. But I was actually lucky enough, I went to the East Coast after college and joined up with Spiro Galakis for the rest of that season, who was obviously a close buddy at Colgate, so it would help me adjust a little bit more.
Tulsa the following year, again, you spent, you know, 55 games there and 18 goals, and then did you get called up to Manitoba, or was it the other way around?
Yeah, I got called up to Manitoba, I think it was mid-November, somewhere around there, and then I was up there till about Christmas time, and then I went back to Tulsa.
And you put up a couple of guys there who are playing regular in the NHL now. I noticed that Kyle Connor, Brendan Lemieux, Brendan Tanev as well. What's the level like at the AHL from their side of things? Do you just know that those guys are going to get to the show?
Yeah, well, it was kind of maybe a little different situation. Manitoba or the Winnipeg Jets were kind of younger. They were doing a little bit of a rebuild, I think, or whatever it was. They had a lot of young guys that were playing in the AHL that were getting that experience, and I think they all knew that they were going to be their go-to guys in the NHL at some point, or at least hoping for that. So there was a lot of young talent on that team. I don't know if that's the same for all AHL teams, but there was a lot of guys that were, you know, some were 20 years old, and you could tell they really had a lot of talent and skill.
And then you get the call from Adam Cage and Steve Thornton. What time of the year did you get called about that? Obviously, was it something like a seed was planted when you were in Belfast with the Friendship Four, or was it somebody from Colgate reached out to you and asked about the possibility?
I think the seed was planted in my own mind when I saw it, and I really liked it and thought it'd be somewhere that I'd like to play and live for 2 years and do my schooling as well. And that was pretty enticing. So I think it was February or so that talked to Thorts, and he said that they'd like to have me, and I wanted to go too. So it was a match that worked, and it really ended up working out well for both parties. So
you're talking about obviously the Colgate, and as a student athlete at the, well, not amateur level, this certainly you're still in school, but coming over to the UK, going to school at the Ulster University, a lot of people don't realise that the workload that's actually put on your plate for that. That is, I mean, it, obviously you're first and foremost here to play hockey, but you've got a big opportunity there that you know, after, hockey doesn't last forever, but you've got a big opportunity to learn and obviously, you know, get a master's out of that as well. How was that for you?
I mean, it was great for me. It was part-time. So it wasn't quite as demanding as when you're doing it in undergrad, where you had about, you know, 6 hours of class every day. The MBA program was a lot of older people that had already started their careers and were advancing themselves. So the program was usually, you had 8 hours one day a week, and then the rest was done from home. So it was a little different, but definitely still demanding, but it was good. You had time to relax and do some stuff and travel around and see. And so it was kind of, you know, it wasn't something that you could just go out and do like anywhere else. It was a good opportunity for hockey and schooling.
When did your food membership for the Heart Bar come along?
Spiro Galakis, I think, started that.
Well, not going to start talking about taxis at this stage, but... As you're getting, you're coming to Belfast for the first year, you know, brought in a lot of new faces that year. You're playing with Spiro again. You're getting settled in Belfast your first year, and you come up with pretty sure it was 33 goals that year. You must have enjoyed yourself.
Yeah, I mean, the start of the year, I had a pretty slow start, and there obviously was a lot of players that were on the team that had better resumes than me prior to showing up. So my first start, the first month was a little slow, and then once I started to make the adjustment, I felt better and had a good, strong finish to the end of the year. So I was really happy about that, and I think it gave me a little more confidence going into the following year, too.
The first year, we'll stick on it for a few minutes, but, you know, as you say, it was a season where didn't obviously challenge as much for the league as what you really would like to have had, but coming up with that first trophy as a professional, the Challenge Cup in Cardiff, and up against all the elements, obviously the weather wasn't great, and getting to play the Cardiff Devils in Cardiff, and obviously, you know, hump them to a certain extent as well. It's always good getting into somebody else's barn and picking up a trophy, but you certainly looked as if you enjoyed that one.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and you get a taste for winning a trophy, and you kind of realize how much fun it is, and it's obviously something that you're going to want to do again and work as hard as you possibly can to get back to that situation. So, again, it was one of those things where it's an experience that you want to have again, and it was good building stone for the core group of guys that ended up coming back the next year.
You think it's fair to say that you maybe, not as an individual, but as a group, you probably underachieved after winning the Challenge Cup? You didn't really have the best ending to the season, and obviously you'd not get into the playoff weekend as well was disappointing.
Yeah, it was. I mean, obviously, maybe it was kind of one of those things where you're like, you know, you feel like, well, maybe our job's done, you know, we won this trophy. But, I mean, I wasn't thinking like that at all. You know, you're still working your hardest. You want to win everything you can. But maybe it crept in a little bit throughout the locker room, and I think maybe we took our foot off the gas a little too early. But, I mean, it's tough to say. Looking back now, you don't really know for sure.
You played much of your 2 years with David Rutherford and Blair Riley. A lot of success, a lot of goals, a lot of assists, a lot of points on the board for yourself individually. But as a trio, you just seem to have that chemistry. You know, as a little bit of toughness there with Rives, obviously the speed to burn from yourself. And I know Rudy was as skillful as they come as well.
Yeah, it was. I think it didn't start until a few months in that we started playing together. It was just one of those things that I think, yeah, you said it pretty well. You know, all those skills and assets combined, it just kind of worked. It was a good fit for all three of us.
Rives obviously moved on this year. We'll maybe touch on that later at some point. And he's changed his name. I think it's Brian Reilly now instead of Blair Riley. But, we'll come on to talk about that. Going into your second year, you managed to entice Curtis Leonard to come to Belfast. Was it a hard sell?
No, it really wasn't. He was interested in doing the schooling as well. And obviously, I think it was pretty good for Thorts would have won him too. He won defenseman of the East Coast Hockey League that the year before. So I don't think it was a hard sell for any parties involved, really.
And going into that second season, knowing that you're going to play Continental Cup, you're obviously, you know, you're going to try and retain your trophy against the Challenge Cup and obviously winning that the first year in Cardiff. A couple of new players coming on board, a lot of experience with Patrick Dwyer and obviously Jonathan Ferland there for his second year. Dustin Johnner coming back from a season where, you know, I think he only played up to 20, 22 games, but he was like a new signing as well, wasn't he?
Yeah, there was a lot of pieces there that were pretty good and had a lot of talent for sure.
Continental Cup, obviously you play your first round in November. You're up against the team from Katowice and I can't remember, Bolzano was there, I can't remember the third one, but the arena was buzzing that weekend. It was, you know, you obviously have you play six games and you've got a chance to win a trophy, and what was your experience like for it as a player?
Yeah, that was a great experience for us. You know, obviously added a few extra games to the schedule, which is a little more taxing, but when you're playing those kind of games, it's pretty easy to get fired up for them and stuff. And obviously, it was a lot of fun. Obviously, the ending wasn't the best situation. It's pretty tough to lose in a shootout. It's just kind of you don't really see it too much in hockey, like a playoff game ending in a shootout. So other than that, it was a great experience and it was a lot of fun, especially being able to have it at home in Belfast.
Yeah, playing at home was huge, but that game against Arlan from Kazakhstan, I mean, I was lucky enough to call the game for Giants TV, and I don't know if you noticed and look back at it, I did go a bit nuts over it.
It was rocking for sure.
It was unbelievable. The atmosphere in the building that night, and I mean, I've been there for 20 years now, and that night was right up there with some of the loudest screams and loudest noise I've actually ever heard.
Without a doubt.
From an arena.
Yes, without a doubt.
You've got the Continental Cup out of the way. And I want to ask you about the following weekend. Obviously, it was really disappointing that game against Arlan. You're coming from 2-0 down to get it back to 2-2 with a few minutes to go in the game, go to overtime, losing the shootout, as you said. But the following weekend, you had a big doubleheader against Cardiff. What's the mentality of the guys going in there? Because even at that stage, you weren't far off playing as many games at that stage of the season as you had the previous year completely.
Yeah, I just remember we were going into that weekend, and I think we pretty much knew that we had to get, I don't know what, I can't remember if we won both of them or...
No, you lost both games in Cardiff.
Cardiff. Oh, yeah, that was a bad one, actually.
Yeah.
Got waxed.
And again, you're coming out of that. And then, I mean, you step up and you guys win 11 of the next 13 games. And that really did make a big push down the stretch because, obviously, you know, it's never a good time to lose the Cardiff Devils. But that really put them in a strong position. But from a perspective of a Belfast Giants player, it just looked like you just never gave up after that because you got the bus moving. You got everybody going the right direction. And it was a real big push down the stretch for you and your teammates.
Yeah, I think I remember after that weekend, it was kind of like, you know, they beat up on us pretty good. And it was like, are they a better team than us or what's the deal? And I think, you know, guys got home and thought about it. And you think like, well, if we're going to be scoring more points than them throughout the rest of the season, we're going to have to do a lot better job because obviously they had a great team too. So I think it was pretty eye-opening realizing that like, They're gonna be winning a lot of hockey games the rest of the year, so we better really buckle down here if we want to have a shot.
11 wins, as I say, in the next 13 games after that doubleheader in Cardiff. But going right down the stretch, you ended up playing. You were 16-4 for the last 20 league games, and that was always going to give you an opportunity. And it's probably not the ideal way you'd want to win it, but winning the league in a hotel when you're having a couple of pints with your buddies. What was that experience like?
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. Obviously, you know, I don't care how you win it, where you win it, or when you win it, as long as you do. And, yeah, it was pretty little different, weird experience, you know. It was probably a little more emotional because you're doing it with your buddies, and it was kind of something that, like, wasn't really expected, you know. It was – we didn't think we were – going to get fortunate enough and get the breaks that we did. So it was a lot of fun, yeah. It was good time.
And I want to ask you about the playoffs. I mean, you know, we Coventry beat the Cardiff Devils to get to for the Giants to win the league that year. And then the following weekend, the Coventry players come into Belfast and they were greeted on the ice like a home team and champions. and we go out and thump them 5-0. But going into the playoff weekend, you beat Guildford 2-1. That was a real battle. And that was your first experience of a Frozen Four at a weekend. What was your thoughts on the Nottingham weekend after that?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, guys that had already played in it the year before I got there had said it was really fun weekend, great atmosphere. Obviously, there's a lot on the line when you're only playing two one-offs. So it was quite an experience. You know, obviously it didn't turn out the way we wanted to in the end, but it was a lot of fun, great atmosphere. You know, it's something that you don't really see too often in professional hockey. So it was pretty cool.
I want to ask you about that hit. You obviously didn't see it coming. It was a bad hit, hit the head. And that obviously ended your season a wee bit abruptly. But what's your recollection of the play?
Oh, I was just trying to get pucks deep, and obviously their D-man stepped up. It was hockey, you know, it's a physical sport. It happens. So it wasn't any hard feelings or anything. I think it was just a hockey play that I ended up being on the wrong end of the stick.
Wrong end of a big stick. It certainly did. I mean, you went off the ice and you came back on for a shift. Was it your decision to come out of the game, or was it Adam's decision?
It was my decision, but it wasn't. It wasn't meant to be, for sure.
Tough end of a season where ultimately you were, you know, a post away in the Continental Cup from winning that. And obviously, you know, you're going into the game of the Cardiff Devils and a huge save by Ben Bounds on right at the end of the game there as well. But, you know, four competitions coming very, very, very close to picking up the four trophies. I know you've only played five full seasons now as a pro, but that must have been right up there as one of your best years for sure.
Oh, for sure, yeah. Obviously it was a great year. If there's obviously we only won two of them, but like you said, you know, you get that close, you must have a pretty good team. We got to be doing something right just to put ourselves in those situations. So it's always fun when you're getting to those big dances and at least having your kick at the can.
50 goals. In fairness, Blair Ratty says you've got 51. And it wasn't the first time you scored 50 goals. I think you scored 52 in the year that you were in, the last year in Wellington. But 51 goals as a pro, that's some going.
Yeah, it was just one of those years where you're kind of shooting the puck and everything seemed to go in. Like, you're getting the bounces, and obviously playing with Blair and Rudy really helps. You know, they're obviously great playmakers, and Ryle's can always, you know, go into the corner and he's probably going to come out with the puck 4 out of 5 times. So definitely it was kind of getting a lot of lucky, getting the right spots, and it was just kind of seemed like everything was going our way that year.
And you had a guy at the back who didn't do too bad either, and Tyler Bescarani.
Yeah, that was another thing, you know, it was, even if we didn't bring our best game that night, he could still steal it for us. So that says a lot.
Yeah, Besko was just unbelievable last year, like absolutely insane.
Yes.
I want to touch on your move to Germany. How did that come about? Who made the first move for you? And was there any other interest from any other clubs?
Yeah, there was, but Corey Nielsen, obviously watched me play in Belfast when he was the coach in Nottingham, and was talking to him and stuff, and he thought it was going to be a good fit for me, so I kind of weighed my options, and I was happy that I went there, and it was a really fun year. It was good.
Lausitzer, is that how you say it?
Yeah. The town was Weisswasser, but it was Lausitzer Fuchse.
And what's it like compared to, well, we know what you're not going to say anything bad about Belfast, like, but what's it like?
It's a small town, I think it was only 15, 20,000 and stuff, and it's right on the border of Poland, so it was a little bit of an eye-opener at start. There's not the biggest difference for me was the language barrier that you have to go through, because a lot of it's all German-speaking, obviously. So that was a little bit of adjustment for me, the biggest one that I had.
Did you? Can you speak any German now?
I could speak the basics, but I'm not holding the conversation in German anytime soon.
No, you're not going to hold it with me, don't worry. I could barely speak English, mate. You know a couple of guys who went there. You touched on Corey Nielsen. What was he like as a coach?
He was good. You know, he was really thorough, a lot of video, and he was very passionate about the game and got along really well with them. So I really enjoyed it. I really liked him as a coach. And obviously our team didn't finish as high as we would have liked to, but it was a good opportunity and had a lot of fun.
You play again, you knew a couple of guys that you come up against. You always have a splattering of North American players, but Mike Hammond and Robert Farmer, two guys you played against the previous year, what are they like to play in the same room?
Oh, they were great. They were both great guys, got along well with them, and it's nice when you only have a handful of guys that are imports, you know, it's a little different, and built a pretty tight group. It was so it was all good. Really got along with them great, and it was a lot of fun.
University of Ulster, just want to touch on that again, because again, it is a big, it's a big selling tune for the Belfast Giants. What was your, what were you studying? What was your takeaway from it as well? Because I knew you'd come back for a couple of days to pick up your award.
Yeah, I was a Master's of Business Administration. I did it over 2 years, and it was great. It was a lot of group work, and the people in the class were a lot of fun to be around and stuff. Dustin Johnner and Cole Jarrett were, and Kyle Bond were the other hockey guys. So we usually were together and spent a lot of time working on our project together, doing presentations and that kind of stuff. You know, it was a little grueling at some points, but overall a lot of fun and great experience. And it's nice to, you know, have something that can never be taken away from you. It's with you for the rest of your life. So that's always a good thing.
I know, again, I forgot to mention a few minutes ago, but when you're in Belfast, your mum and your dad come over a few times, and they seem to enjoy the Northern Ireland culture as well.
Oh, yeah. They had a lot of visitors from home and stuff, that people that would come over, watch games, and kind of make it their vacation. So they kind of got two things done at once. They got to watch some hockey. They got to see all the beautiful sights of Northern Ireland and the Republic of Ireland. So they always had a lot of fun. I think my mom and dad ended up coming over 3 or 4 times actually throughout my time.
To see if you were going to sell Belfast, if you were phoned up and asked from an ex-teammate or a guy that you knew from your local area who was asked to come to play for Belfast, how would you sell it?
I don't think it's too tough to sell. I mean, it's a great city, great place to live, and obviously the Belfast Giants are a top organization, so I don't think it's too hard of a decision for a lot of people if that's somewhere that they want to go and the Belfast Giants want them. It's not really too hard of a sell. Obviously, living there for 2 years, I really enjoyed every second of it, so there's nothing really bad you can say, and I think that goes a long ways when you're talking to guys.
I wanted to, you know, we're coming up towards the end, and we really do appreciate your time. I know there's, I was going to say you probably got other things to do, but you probably don't.
Not a whole lot. Not a whole lot.
The whole season, obviously, for everybody concerned, has ended prematurely. You were touching on that you didn't go the way on the ice that you wanted this year. But what was the when the season came to an end in Germany? Because DEL and DEL2 closed down a little bit quicker than everywhere else. Well, how did it come about, and how quickly were you out of there and back to North America?
Yeah, well, it was kind of crazy. I mean, obviously, no one was expecting any of this to happen. Obviously, no one wants it to happen. But once the season was canceled, it was pretty quick for the guys that were going back to North America, because, you know, borders were starting to close. So it ended up kind of being a rush to get out of there just to make sure you were home and safe and with family during, like, the tough times. So it was a bit of a roller coaster, but I was happy to get home and at least be – like in Canada, where you have health insurance for myself and all that kind of things.
And what have you been up to, obviously, with the lockdown in the UK? What's the situation in Ontario?
Ontario, I'm not 100% sure, but I think it's all pretty similar. You know, it's pretty much just grocery stores, essential services, go for a lot of walks or runs during the day just to keep busy, but not a whole lot, not too much.
Where about you now?
In Marysville, Ontario, it's just a small little community between Toronto and Ottawa.
Cool. And what's next for Darcy Murphy?
I'm not 100% sure. Obviously, the hockey world's kind of at a standstill right now because of all the unknowns, and everyone's kind of waiting to see where the chips fall and how this is going to affect, you know, teams' budgets and how teams operate, how leagues operate. So right now, it's just kind of waiting and seeing how things pan out and then go from there, I guess.
I wanted to just finish on a couple of questions to see what, I mean, obviously you're a pro hockey player now, but when you were dreaming of becoming a pro hockey player and as a youngster, what sort of player, what player did you look up to and go, I want to be like him?
Yeah, I was always a big fan of the Toronto Maple Leafs, so there was a couple guys on that team that I always watched and really liked and stuff. But as I got older, I tried to watch Brad Marchand a lot. He was a few years older than I was, so, and obviously he's one of the best players in the world, so it was obviously nice to watch him and try and learn from the way he plays and that kind of thing.
Role models, off the ice and on the ice, who were your role models and as a youngster and obviously helping you through? And I'm sure you're probably going to say some guys at college as well.
Yeah, I had one of my older cousins kind of did the same thing I did. So he always helped me, you know, with the next step of how to move forward, you know, as a young player trying to move up and stuff like that. And then obviously, yeah, you get to college and you meet a bunch of your best friends that still best friends with today, obviously like Spiro and Kyle and those type of guys. So it's a lot of like that, you know, you're just kind of learning from everyone else around you.
Well, have Spiro over for Gary's testimonial. Unfortunately, you were still playing in Germany at that time, but it was great to see him. Like, he's just a top lad.
Yeah, he was actually over here 2 days ago, so we were catching up on old news, and it was we had a lot of fun.
I'm sure our story about the taxi journey for you will come out at some point, but we'll save it for the meantime.
Sounds good.
It's definitely one which it needs to be told, but we'll let it go for the meantime itself, because it is still the funniest thing ever.
Yeah, maybe save it for Spiro.
Yeah, that's exactly what we'll do, actually. Darcy Murphy, it's been an absolute pleasure, mate. I hope you're keeping safe and well, and your family too, and we'll hope to speak to you soon, mate.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Kitch. Stay safe.
Take care, guys.
Sports Social Podcast Network.